What better place than here? What better time than now?
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of the Radcast. It's our weekly advertising and news segment on Friday, May 28th. It's Memorial Weekend and we're ready. I'm ready for boating. I'm ready for hot dogs, hamburgers, and sun. And I'm also ready for my partner in crime, Josh Hill. What's up, brother?
What's up? Also looking forward to hot dogs. Might get some today.
Hey, I'm a promoter, man. I'm promoting it. I'm ready. I'm ready for some sun, fun, and lots of none business work or anything otherwise.
That's right. That was good.
We're making it up as we go here, Josh. That's what we do. And glad to have Josh back in the saddle. He's our digital marketing manager here at Radical. I know it's been busy. Lots of new clients, lots of new work. Josh manages all of our digital media and he is the mad rad ad scientist.
Yeah. Good to take a break. Take a little step out of the laboratory and
yes, and we're going to get Josh a lab coat.
Yeah.
The rad lab.
Need some test tubes.
But yeah, man, it's been a good week. Lots of new stuff going on. What's any highlights for you here as we head into a Memorial weekend?
Oh man, got plenty of new content rolling out. Got been having some good fun with some dynamic content, stuff like that. Loving the new ad tools coming out. It's been fun getting the nice adjustment to the ever changing.
Yeah, no, it's like the platforms or the mediums change like crazy. It's like, and we do a lot of e-commerce, so
yeah,
to translate dynamic, i.e. As someone's product interests change or things they look at, serving them the content that's relevant to what they've already looked at. Am I calling that correctly?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Working with the robots, hanging out with the algorithms.
Exactly. Speaking of the robots, I'm pretty excited. I'm going to tease a little bit. We're getting to, we've got cookie-less data coming where it's going to be harder to target people, but in our ever-advancing radical nature that we are, we're working with a data partner to be able to leverage some data sets to really get after in-market audiences. It's going to be pretty advanced, and we're going to have a dashboard. There's a dashboard for everything. So it's going to be called like Rad Intent. I don't know. We're going to merchandise the hell out of it. I don't know. We'll make up a name, but we can get after people that are, you want it to be relevant, but obviously to date, a lot of that relevance has typically been behavioral, or they visit your website, which is good, which is definitely the biggest hand raising you could have.
Right.
But sometimes people are raising their hand. You don't know it because they haven't visited your website yet. So, yeah. And a lot of those signals come from searches and otherwise. So we're going to be able to get in market pretty much audiences for any category. So pretty stoked about that. We've got a demo actually next week, Josh. I'm actually putting it on your calendar after this meeting.
I'm excited for that.
Yes. So demo time next week after we come back from sun, fun, and buns. It's a rhyming Friday here. Man,
the catchphrases don't stop.
They do not stop here at Radical, but it's been a good week. Lots of new stuff. I have expansion with existing clients. Seems to be a flood of activity. I feel like the world is kind of like antsy to move, You just kind of feel it a little bit, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's exciting.
Pandemic slowly going away, and hopefully gone forever here in the States. I know other countries are dealing with a little bit more, but we've been blessed to kind of exorcise the demon that has been the pandemic. So it's exciting. And hey, congratulations to Phil Mickelson, the 50-year-old. As a 40-something, I was pretty excited by this. He was the oldest winner of a major championship on Sunday. So I was kind of glued to my seat on Sunday afternoon watching Phil carry through. I know. Oh, yeah. I don't know that you might be into golf. I don't know. But did that hit your radar at all?
It tickles my radar here and there. I've got a lot of friends who are really close into golf, so it doesn't, I can't get away from it.
There you go. And actually even better than this, and you know, I know you're a meme guy. We're both, who doesn't like some good memes? Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, who are two of the younger stars. Brooks is pushing 30, and DeChambeau's not, you know, 23 or something, but they're both in their 20s or almost 30. They are in a bit of a feud. They don't like one another, and I like that they don't like one another. I like, kind of like a little zest in the golf. I mean, they're always too nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like golf claps all around. You know, everybody's really nice, but these guys don't like each other. And there was a clip of Brooks doing after the PGA Championship doing an interview, and it was an unaired clip where he did a big eye roll because Bryson walked by him or behind him in the middle of his thing and threw a few curse words. So the memes abound. And if you follow me on social media, you can look on my story. I'm kind of posting one about every other day now because they're freaking hilarious. These guys don't like each other. They're coming out. What you don't see in sports these days, especially in golf, these guys may not like each other, but you won't know it in public.
Yeah.
These guys are going at it on Twitter. Bryson posted yesterday, it's wonderful that Brooks is living rent free. I'm living rent free in Brooks' mind. they just don't normally say this shit. They don't like each other, and they'll be like, there's a rumor that Tiger and Phil don't get along or something, you know, but much less what they're like going right at each other on social media.
Oh, it's so fun to watch. I love to see it. Adds to the passion. That's what I love to see.
Exactly. So it's been fun watching that, and we'll get right to the news. So our first topic of today, I don't know what you think about this, Josh. This goes right down, you know, your highway for sure. So data companies. So you've got, I just teased it up a little bit talking about first party data and cookies going away that track you around the internet when you visit a site. But there's data companies now that are trying to get by this. So obviously they are being direct and honest that, hey, we would like to get your data. We would like some of your data. Can we eat some of your data? It's like, we really like your data. Can we have your data?
Yeah, can we?
And so they're rewarding first party data with iPods and trips and, you know, essentially, there's even sites where if you do all your surfing on certain sites, you get rewards added up because, hey, we're tracking your every move. You know it, but we'd like to reward you for it. Right. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this?
I mean, most of these places are making tons of money off of that already and doing it without paying you. So might as well give you a little snack here and there, a little prize. And if you're willing to give up your data like that, like most people are willing to give it up for free, might as well get a little something for it.
Hey, this is true. You know, like some reason I thought of hookers or something when you said that. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. Like an old joke.
Most of y'all are giving it up for free. Might as well.
Yeah, pay for it. Oh, we're going to all kinds of. Hey, we're going into a holiday weekend here, and it's the Radcast. So you know, we're talking about hookers and everything else, giving it up for free or getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So consumers, rather than giving it up for free, let's say giving up the milk for free. Yeah, right. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. I agree. It's interesting, though. A lot of the big companies, the big three, supposedly aren't very favorable with this. I think because they're concerned yet another player in the market with data and other things. I think it's more a competition thing than maybe true concern for the consumer. Because, look, like you said, consumers have been giving it up for free and not even knowing it for the average consumer not knowing it. So at least there's an acknowledgement that it's happening and you're at least giving them something back in response to it. Right.
Oh, absolutely. And I've heard of places like, I mean, people will like give discounts already. Like product sellers will like give discounts based off like for instance, like the app Honey, like they give you the discount based off of like helping you find it. I think this is like right in that same train of thought. I love anytime I'm looking for something and I don't need it now, I'll like put some searches in on Instagram or the internet, like Google and stuff. And I'll just like, all right, send me some ads. Let's see what you got out there. Yes. So we'd love to get some incentives here.
Yes, yes, yes. We do like that. I need to see more of like how they're using it, as long as they're being transparent about all those things. And the biggest thing for me with all this is do we really want to get back to the space where I use the pantyhose thing all the time, but I'll change it. Like, I hate avocados, which I don't, but let's pretend that I did. And I'm getting served avocado ads. Like, do we really want to get back to that space where all these ads, you're going to get served ads?
Yeah.
Because all these, there's so many platforms. Yeah, if it's Netflix, maybe the one place, or there's a couple others, but like, social media is still free.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And so there's got to be ad supported content. Do you really want to get back to a place of uninteresting, unrelated content? That's,
yeah.
You know, that's
because we know you're not going to pay $4.99 a month for Instagram. Like,
no.
Yeah. And like, if you keep getting stuff that doesn't mean anything to you, like you're going to get annoyed.
Exactly. And I get the slippery slope of how this data gets used and like all sides of it.
Right.
But it's core for how ad content is served up. I don't know. I'm hoping, you know, there's discussion of all these other platforms and ways with which we're going to get around this. And I hope someone really smart kind of figures it out so that we can keep the ad content relevant. We're going to keep it relevant because we're going to go write it in market shoppers.
Right.
But, you know, unless you're calling radical, you're going to be getting ads. You're going to be serving ads to people uninterested in whatever you're selling. So
exactly.
We'll see where this goes. But I like me some rewards. At least being upfront for what's happening. Our second one in yet another evolution of e-commerce and social shopping. It never ends, folks. It's never ending.
Never ends.
So many opportunities, so little time. Instagram introducing in their shopping button at the bottom. So if you're in the app, you haven't noticed it. You've noticed it. There's a little shopping button so that you can see places and things and companies that you follow, what they're selling in a mm-hmm. shopping way, or things that you're selling if you want to manage it. But there's a new within, after you hit the shopping button, a new tab called Drops, which is the newest, greatest, trendiest products, viral products, if we call them that.
Potentially viral.
Potentially viral. I'm like, how do they know they're viral yet? I guess they've already been made viral, or do they get viral because you click on them within Drops?
A new feature called Drops just dropped.
Yes.
Instagram
feature drops are dropping.
Instagram dropped their drops.
Yeah. Thoughts on this one, Josh?
I think it's cool. I think it really goes after those people who are really wanting to be the early adopters, who want to be the trendsetters. And I think Instagram knows that Instagram is the platform for that. It's literally all the people on there who are famous are the ones doing they're the first to have everything. And so why not create a space where, hey, maybe you can be the first to own this product. Like, this just came out. Like, let me buy it. Let me share it with my friends. I went
on there, you know, when I saw this launched and I started hitting it, and I'm like, man, they must think I'm a lot cooler than I am. Cause this was like, I'm talking the trendiest of trendy things, like some out there clothes, like some necklace that, you know, I would have worn never.
Right. No, it's this is probably like the highest risk section, because since it's brand new stuff, you're not going to have any reviews. There's not going to be any kind of like proven concept that like, oh, people are actually going to wear it. And yeah, it's kind of it's like that early investing. Like, maybe the product might tank, but hey, you're the first to have it.
Yeah, I do think it'll be interesting to see if it leads to sales. I mean, I'm sure that it will, but like, I don't know how they exactly, back to kind of cookies and everything else, like the refinement of what's relevant to you, you know, that's gone viral or interesting, or is it just going to be universal? I don't know. You'd like to think that it gets more relevant to whatever your shopping behaviors are.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm sure they've got plenty of different categories they're scanning.
But the biggest thing here, people, if you're listening, social shopping, it was one of Josh and I's actual trends for this year. The increase in social shopping, you're going to see it. It's happening. All of these things are built and baked around the notion that people are shopping more and more through their social channels. Instagram's finally made it easier for you to shop within their platform. Still has a ways to go, if you ask me, but it's gotten a lot better. Or is adding products and otherwise. And this is just another feather in the cap of where social shopping is going. Our third topic for today. So I like this too. This is kind of on down that Kepka Deschambeau. I like a little robbery in my brands. And, you know, Verizon, AT&T, Coke and Pepsi are battling out for burger supremacy. So Pepsi's fighting back. Coke's always has held the big three. McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's always, they serve Coke. And Pepsi's done a little survey that says 60% of people, I'm always a little skeptical of brands that do their own surveys.
Right. Right.
Yeah, 60%, it's barely over it. 60% of people would prefer a Pepsi with their burger over a Coke. You're going to see this campaign. You're listening to this before Memorial Weekend of 2021. You're probably going to see this blasted everywhere. If you're watching any media or digital media, you're going to see their campaign showing that they go better with Coke in a very competitive way.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Josh?
I think it's beautiful. I mean, I love the ads were like really funny. It's definitely bold, and it's cool that it's like the Titans battling, because they literally have like major brands kind of sort of in the images and stuff. Like you can recognize that it's a McDonald's bag or recognize that it's the mascot. It's Wendy, but it doesn't show the full thing. And that's cool that they're using that power of the brand's recognition to their own advantage.
Well, I just don't really like Pepsi.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty honest, like here on the Radcast, about the brands I like and don't like. I hated some of Coke's drones and gimmicky stuff with Coke Coffee and Coke Energy, both of which have kind of gone to the misfits drinks section of your local gas station. But with that said, I'm a Coke guy. Coke Zero is like my kryptonite, you know, or I should say it's my, I don't know, my kryptonite in that it weakens me to my knees. I always want one, even though it's not the greatest thing for me.
Right.
But with that said, I love the competition. I love the challenger brands.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going after the top and like, look, what do you have to lose? Like, you know, like go at it.
It's a great effort. I love the see it, love the approach, but I'm kind of in the same boat. If it's going to be a float, it's going to be a Coke float. It's going to be a rum and Coke. It's going to be.
But I like it for the taste. Yeah. Some people will say, hey, I don't really know the difference, but I like Coke as the brand. I go in there and I'm like literally looking on the wall to see, you know, what's on the Coke, if it's a Coke or Pepsi's place. And I'm like, I'm literally like disappointed because it's like the sweet of drinks, the sweet of all the drinks. Mm-hmm. Like my kids like Dr. Pepper, which I think may fall on either, depending. I don't know. But it just seems like whatever comes with the Pepsi drinks isn't as good. Not only just the Coke, I think, is a little better, but I don't know.
Yeah. Just like Coke, Sprite. It's great.
Yes. Yes. My kids love some Sprite versus what is it? What,
Sierra Mist.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Give me Sprite all day long.
What's a damn Sierra Mist? You know, like it just sounds bad.
Yeah. Sierra Mist.
Yeah. There's no mist on Sierra. It's dry and desert. You know, anyway, I digress. But I do like the campaign and you'll see it everywhere. So I respect the brand. I respect the approach. I just prefer Coke.
Yeah.
Especially Coke Zero. Our last topic of today. This is interesting. Not surprising.
Yeah.
A study done. This comes by way of marketing. I'm going to forget the name. And we'll tag you on the post. If you're listening to this, we'll tag. Marketing Dive is who posted it. We'll give them credit. Saw this on one of their articles. We'll post it on the feed in the podcast, but to a link to it. But 71% of consumers are tiring of empty promises from brands, spurring an age of advertising cynicism.
Yes.
is like the no shit article of the day.
Yeah. And they should be. Yes.
Finally, they come around and realize it's just no.
Shockingly low number of 71%.
Yes. That's what we heard.
Yeah.
But and I thought that they actually thought that they believed all of it.
Read my lips.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. They don't. But in all seriousness, I'd love to know what this number was like 10 years ago. That would give me more of a point of reference.
Yeah.
You know? That'd like, be great. I'm sure we're in an age of cynicism, but was it really only 31% thought brands were full of shit?
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Or was it 68.4?
Right.
That would be a more point of reference, but you know, it's not surprising. And I think, honestly, this is just my perspective. Focus group of one here. I'm not sure that the purpose-driven marketing is helping. I think it might actually be leading to even more cynicism because they're promoting it more. And you don't, the average person isn't seeing that fulfilled.
Absolutely.
You know, like Tom's being the one example, or, and I know they're like the age old, you know, example, and there's others that do this and live it and breathe it, and it's a brand. But as one-off campaigns, it comes off as just that, a campaign.
Exactly. Like, why do it at all if you have a plan to stop doing it? And like, there's been a lot of promises, especially over the last year, of like hiring or different practices and stuff like that. And I'm a little falling into here, like with the 71%, because I've seen a lot of people and kind of like indie reporters go follow up with those companies. Like, hey, remember this promise they made? They didn't follow up with it. They're still making excuses or not doing anything. It's just don't make the promise at all. Like, if you're not going to do it.
I think we're living in the age of cynicism for everything.
Though. Yeah.
Not just marketing, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
Everybody is cynical of everything. I mean, maybe our politics, of our advertising, of our food. I don't know, you know.
Like, oh, yeah.
I think a little cynicism is good for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a slippery slope, especially being in the industry, you know, working with companies and wanting to help them. I think it still goes back to just stay true to your brand, be authentically yourself. And it's okay if sometimes you're just selling something.
Yeah.
You don't have to slap on something that's going to ring hollow that might actually hurt your brand of the long haul more than it actually helps.
Absolutely. Yeah. Staying true to your brand, sticking to that brand guideline, that mission statement, the vision statement, like, those are there for a reason. Like, the more you're true to yourself and just like, we're a company that sells something, that's respectful. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's, so, that is what,
yeah. Make it useful. And like my good friend, Christopher Lockhead, who we had on the podcast this week, if you haven't listened to that, I'm going to do a quick pause. If you haven't listened to this week's guest episode on Tuesday, it was released, Christopher Lockhead, original category pirate, talks about create a category, focus more on category creation and innovation rather than hollow, meaningless branding. And he wasn't saying branding as a whole, but he thinks there's overspin and overthought about some of these things that we're talking about versus innovation in product development and category development.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my desert island episode. If I'm stranded with one episode of Radcast, it's that one.
Yeah, I think it might be. I've had like episodes where I feel like I've just laughed the whole time and it's been fun and all this, but it's getting hard to like choosing your babies, like which ones you like the best. But and sometimes, you know, I have guests on and it's like, okay, that was a good episode. Like, we had a lot of fun. I think that would be fun to listen to. And then there's episodes with Christopher where I'm like, damn, just drop the mic like 8 times, like on how many insights.
Need a box of mics to just.
Yeah. Like our editing team that puts the highlights together. Like, he literally messaged me and he's like, hey, man, there's like, you know, we normally do like 6 to 8 highlight clips. He's like, I could probably do 30 from this episode. I'm like, yes, you could. And yes, you will.
Yeah.
He's like, damn, I just made a lot of work for myself. Well. No, Christopher made a lot of work for you because he's smart as shit and he dropped a lot of knowledge for if you're in business, if you're in marketing, no matter what it is. But it does play into this notion that, you know, all this bullshit branding, it's the wrong kind of branding. I'm a brand advocate, brand evangelist even, but the wrong kind of hollow branding is doing you no favors.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's it for this week, Josh. Any final words, anything that, you know, you saw this week that we didn't, you know, any TikTok majesty?
Oh, man, there's too much on TikTok. I say just go get out there. If you haven't gotten on TikTok yet, you're way behind.
Yeah.
Go hang out. It's so much fun.
It is fun. Oh. We had new interns start. They're doing a great job. We're about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks in.
Yeah, they're killing it.
The rad ship. It's not an internship. It's a rad ship.
Oh, yeah.
So we appreciate them, and I appreciate you.
appreciate you.
Hey guys, we really appreciate everyone listening. You know where to learn more, theradcast.com. All the content, all the highlights, all of yours truly talking about marketing and everything in between. You can find us at the.rad.cast on Instagram. And I'm always at Ryan Alford, anywhere, everywhere on the internet, on Instagram, TikTok. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. If it's more a weekend, no matter wherever, however, whenever you are, we love you. See you next time on the Radcast.
Place than here. What better time?